Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Al Presta is ready for conversations of consequence. This is Presta in the Afternoon.
Al Presta is taking your calls direct to his desk. Call in now, 877-573-7825.
Good afternoon. Thank you for being with me. We're going to continue conversation on the question of race in America and really what we as Catholics have to contribute here. My emphasis is always to go back to the very nature of the Church itself, the body of Christ. This is Christ who died for all, right? Regardless of tribal connections or language or kinship networks. And, of course, God created all. You know, it used to be, you could say, there's only one race, the human race. And that most people would kind of just acknowledge that and say, yes, of course, that's almost a common sense thing. Unfortunately, now you bring up something like that and you might be accused of being racist because you're saying, well, one race, the human race. And that's taken as an attack on a phrase like Black Lives Matter. So in the what's the thing I want to be very clear about, and that is we cannot permit ourselves to betray the Church by getting intimidated by those who would like to use racial issues as a way of heaping false guilt and unfounded accusation on us. On the other hand, we don't want to be in a reactionary position either. We don't want to have to get up and protest our innocence and all that. Look, if we are grounded in what St. Paul teaches, which is very closely connected to what Jesus demonstrated, we can really stand tall in the midst of this all this conflict and accusation that's going on in America. So we'll have more to say about that. We're going to take your calls as soon as we finish up the news headlines, but let's get there right now.
Thanks, Al. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Friday, April 9th. It's the Feast of St. Casilda of Toledo. Today's news is brought to you by Charity Mobile, supporting pro-life and Catholic causes at CharityMobile.com. On Divine Mercy Sunday, Pope Francis will be offering Mass in Santo Spirito in Sassia, which contains relics of both St. Faustina and St. John Paul II. Santo Spirito in Sassia is Rome's official Divine Mercy Church. The White House says the commission studying possible U.S. Supreme Court reform is a diverse group.
And the makeup of this commission, which was vital for the president, there are progressives on the court, there are conservatives on the court. People will present different opinions and different points of view, and then they'll have a report at the end of 180 days.
Press Secretary Jen Psaki telling reporters the bipartisan panel will examine a number of issues that includes whether the court should be expanded beyond 9 justices. Amazon workers in Bessemer, Alabama aren't unionizing. The no votes outpaced the yes votes by more than 2-1. More than 5,800 ballots were sent out to workers in February to determine if workers wanted to join the retail, wholesale, and department store union. A bill aiming to crack down on violent protests is being considered by the Florida State Senate Appropriations Committee. Lead sponsor State Senator Danny Burgess says House Bill 1 creates a host of new crimes, enhancing riot-related penalties, including establishing a new crime called mob intimidation.
This crime occurs when three or more people act with a common intent to use force or threaten to use imminent force. And I want to focus on the word force. Force is not peaceful.
Debate has been going on since this morning. Japanese doctors say they've made a breakthrough in COVID-19 recovery by successfully transplanting lung tissue from living donors to coronavirus patients. A woman who spent months on life support recently received donated lung tissue from her husband and son. She's expected to leave the hospital in a couple of months. I'm Steve Clark, Ave Maria, Radio News.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. Thank you for being here. Just saw notice of the passing of Asher Sargon Eskvia. He was president of the Syrian Aid Society of Iraq. He passed away today from COVID-related complications. I don't know more than that. But I bring him up right now because this is a good example of non-Catholic Christian, but who was very enthused by Pope Francis's visit to Iraq and commented, you know, very positively on it. He played a very important role in being a voice for the Syrian minority during all of this chaos in the Middle East. And this kind of thing goes on all the time within Christian circles. There are many of our separated brethren, for instance, who are doing very good work in this area. But we know as Catholics that ultimately all the gifts that are given by Christ have an inner logic to them that eventually leads back to full communion. So we can see all over the world the members of the church, that those who are baptized, again, some of them are separated brethren, but what we see is we see everywhere you go, you're seeing men and women of different ethnic backgrounds, of different racial composition, of different classes, working together to serve one another. And this is, it's underreported. It doesn't, it's not news, and yet it's a major part of people's lives. I mean, that's why this notice just came across my desk. This was fellow was, you probably never heard of him before. He was actually nominated back in 2016 for the Nobel Peace Prize. All right, let's continue with your calls. 1-877-573-7825. We'll go to Bob in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio, 1430 AM. Hey, Bob, thanks for waiting.
Oh, all right. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. What can we talk about?
Yeah. Well, you know, about this race thing, I was around in the mid-60s when we passed all these laws
right.
to have a great society, the great society stuff, you know. And
yep.
it was a tremendous financial undertaking to add taxes to people so that we could pay the blacks to either stay home on welfare or, you know, you can have kids and we'll pay for them. And all the time, supposedly all the time, they're going to be gaining skills out in society so that they could join our society just like everybody else. Well, that was 55 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I've been paying extra taxes ever since so that they can have special treatment and get out into society and be like everybody else and have their babies while they're sitting at home. I guess I'm wondering is when are they going to ever take the reins? And because you know America is the greatest country in the history of the world. If
right.
you can't make it in America, you're not going to make it anywhere.
Yeah. Well, you do. You must know that over that period of time, there was a huge black middle class that developed over those years. Now, you're focusing in on the aid to families with dependent children, which was a welfare program that tended to reward having children out of wedlock. And that was attacked during the Clinton administration, largely because of Newt Gingrich's welfare reform proposals that was picked up by Clinton. In fact, that's one of the things that Clinton and Obama had great disagreement over. But, there were lots of problems with the Great Society in terms of spending and bad incentives to people. But at the same time, America's made tremendous progress, and blacks in America have made tremendous progress since the 1960s. So, I mean, look, there's the problems remain, but we shouldn't ignore the achievements that went on. And, of course, Ronald Reagan was kind of the answer to the Great Society. By the time of Jimmy Carter, it was beginning to be clear that Lyndon Johnson's Great Society programs had too many negative consequences. It tended to create a culture of dependence, and we came to realize as by the mid-90s that, in fact, a lot of the money spent for aid to families with dependent children ended up producing more out-of-wedlock births. And so changes had to be made. But, yeah, there were problems there. But I don't think you can paint the whole thing, you know, with such a broad brush, because out of that movement come people like Clarence Thomas, who sits on the Supreme Court now. And so I think that was a major achievement. If you look over rising black income from the 1960s to today, I think, well, positive things happened. But, yeah, the complaint about taxation, the complaint about disincentives, yeah, that's all part of the discussion. And so I appreciate you bringing it up, but I don't want to leave out I don't want to paint an entirely dark picture of the whole thing. There's many positive things that came about because of changes in American culture. How much you can attribute that to government legislation, I can't say. But what we do know is that one of the great achievements, and talked about a lot during the 1980s, was the rising black middle class. Appreciate the call, Bob. Good talking with you. And we'll go to Clinton, Washington, where Jim's listening on the Ave Maria radio app. You are up, Jim.
Yes. Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I believe you asked earlier, asked your listeners to call in if you've had your church parish minister give homilies on racism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I attend a very small parish on Whidbey Island, and most of the folks are made up of retirees.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the topic of systemic racism has come up a number of times in the homilies mm-hmm. of our pastor, and it did cause some problems and issues. A lot of people don't think there is racism that exists. In fact, we've had some people have said, you know, this is too political.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, some families have left our parish. And I think one of the areas that kind of pushed people over the edge was when our church placed black crosses, a number of black crosses on our church grounds
mm-hmm.
with the names of blacks that have been killed as a result of police action.
Mm-hmm.
And that really upset a number of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some people say, well, our church has become too political. And I keep telling people, hey, look, wait a minute. There's a lot of issues out there that are political that our church should talk about, like church freedom, sure. religious freedom, abortion, immigration.
Yeah.
These are clearly part of the social justice issues that the church takes positions on. But then I'm a little bit struggling because, like you said earlier about racism, you know, I mean, the days of true Jim Crow is over.
Yep.
I mean,
way over. Yeah.
No comparison between today and what it was like back in the 40s and 50s
mm-hmm.
and 60s, depending upon the region. So I don't buy the story of people saying or giving the excuse of living the they're leaving the church because it's too political, because there are issues that we should be involved in. But then there are also cases where, I don't know, you know, displaying those black crosses, and a lot of people identified the black crosses with BLM.
Yeah.
And, you know, I firmly believe that, you know, I believe that, you know, black lives do matter, but I don't support the organization.
Right. Now, see, this is very good. This is exactly the kind of problems that we're bound to get into. And this is where I think it's very important that we approach this issue as Catholics. And it's perfectly legitimate to show the far-left political orientation of a group like Black Lives Matter. What's happened with that phrase is it's become decoupled from the organization. That organization was, in fact, and is. They've tried to clean up their act on the web. But the truth is that was a far-left political organization that congratulated Fidel Castro on his birthday, who celebrated the lives of a few Black Panther martyrs, as they would put it. These were not mainstream people, but the uncritical mainstream press accepted them as your normal old-style civil rights organization, which it wasn't. And then in the course of all the debate over from George Zimmerman to Michael Brown to George Floyd, the phrase Black Lives Matter got decoupled from the organization. So now you have people, good people, who use the phrase Black Lives Matter, meaning that we want to pay special attention to the concerns that black Americans have for prejudice that they've experienced over X number of years. So we want to show respect and acknowledge their story, so to speak. But the phrase Black Lives Matter is clearly connected to a particular organization with a particular political agenda. And honestly, a priest, a pastor, ought to make that explicit and clear. And if you're going to take action, like putting out these black crosses with the names of particular people on them, you really ought to do those people the honor of getting their story straight, so you can find out if those people were killed in the commission of a crime. You know, there needs to be, you can't just go slopping around with some symbolic gestures in the hope of appeasing people's, you know, wounded spirit. You've got to do the work.
Ann Arbor Smiles welcomes Dr. Patrick DiDonato and Dr. Abigail Walker to their team. Patrick is a parishioner of St. Thomas the Apostle in Ann Arbor, and Abigail is a pediatric dentist with openings available without a wait. Learn more about them at AnnArborSmiles.com. The team at Ann Arbor Smiles offers nearly every specialty in two convenient locations, including cosmetic dentistry, braces and Invisalign, and even sleep apnea. Ann Arbor Smiles provides care for the entire family. Visit AnnArborSmiles.com.
St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Ann Arbor is presenting a series of talks on St. Joseph. Pope Francis has declared the year of St. Joseph and is calling the church in these troubled times to return to Nazareth and learn from St. Joseph and the Holy Family. Join me, Deacon Gene, and Father John Vinton for a series of reflections and discussion. The evenings begin at 6:30 on Thursday, March 18th, and continue each Thursday, except Holy Thursday, through April. More details at the website stfrancisa2.org. That's stfrancisa2.org.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
Ram is the only pickup to be distinguished as Motor Trend's Truck of the Year 3 years in a row.
That's correct, 3 years in a row.
Now during Ram Truck Month at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you can enjoy leasing a new 2021 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 for as low as $239 a month. Superior styling, comfort, quality, and safety is what has earned us this crown again. Come in and choose your new Ram from over 10 acres of inventory today, only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com. Celebrating over 20 years in business.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Now is a great time to learn about CMF Curo as a pro-life Catholic healthcare option for your family. You can join anytime throughout the year. Plus, you'll experience an authentic Catholic community that cares about your health, spirit, mind, and body. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit mycatholichealthcare.com to learn more about CMF Curo.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Myler & Zipka Certified Public Accountants is proud to support Ave Maria Radio programming. Myler & Zipka offer great services to WDEO listeners in Metro Detroit for all of your accounting and tax needs. Call Ken Zipka and let him know you appreciate him helping to keep Catholic radio alive in this area. Ken can be reached at 734-930-5500. That's 734-930-5500. Or on the web at mspccpa.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Thank you, Jim. I want to get back to you, but we lost you on the line there. By the way, the number is 1-877-573-7825. Talking about our parishes and how we deal with or don't deal with the question of race in America. In my mind, this is a great, extraordinary opportunity for Catholics because of the nature of the church, because of our basic teaching about what it means to be human. It gives us the opportunity to really play some of our strongest cards. And we're too often intimidated by the grossly political nature of racial questions. So, in Jim's case, I don't know the priest, I don't know all that went into this, but he mentions there's conflict. The conflict because somebody within the congregation, some group, decided to place black crosses, I guess, on the church lawn, with each of those crosses named for somebody who had been who died in police custody or in the process of arrest or whatever. The question you have to ask here is where did those names come from? I mean, we shouldn't be naive. There are many organizations out there that they exist for the purpose of, they claim they exist for the purpose of racial healing or racial reconciliation or solving civil rights abuses or, you know, whatever. But the truth is, they play fast and loose with the truth. And I think you've got to stop and ask, am I going to hitch my wagon to this group? And that's why I think it's a I think the Black Lives Matter thing is a mistake. I understand the phrase decoupled from the group. I understand that. And I don't want to make too big a deal about it, but I think it's imprudent to use a phrase like Black Lives Matter because it has extraordinary political overtones to it. And we shouldn't be letting activist organizations determine our agenda. We have a gospel agenda. We approach these issues in a different way. I'm not against the idea of symbolic gestures, like putting black crosses out there with people's name on it. But you want to make sure that the congregation is supportive of it. That represents the heart of the parish community. And it may be that you can't do it. It may be that there's too many disagreements. It may be that you end up breaking up the unity of your parish over a political action, a symbolic political gesture. There aren't, I actually have spent a good deal of time looking into a lot of these cases where people die in police custody or somehow in the course of arrest, there's needless violence. And some of these things are truly tragic. And I would urge you to look at the case of Walter Scott and former police officer Michael Slager, and also take a look at Walter Scott's family there. There's a terrible case. Slager shot, I think, 8 times Walter Scott as Walter Scott was fleeing and killed him. And shot him in the back. It's the video of it is compelling, but even more compelling is how the Scott family handled this as men and women committed to the gospel. There's a moment during the sentencing of Michael Slager where Walter Scott's mother directs eye contact with the defendant, Michael Slager, and says to him, "I want you to know I forgive you. We forgive you." And in fact, as the story is told and is reported, both families broke down in tears. Why? Because they are part of a culture that was heavily influenced by the Christian gospel and by the words of Jesus that those of us who are baptized into him have the responsibility to forgive like he forgives. And while it can become cliche and it becomes maybe too easy to forgive sometimes, it is still bearing witness to the impact that the gospel has had on American culture and American society. What Walter Scott's mother did there was not a political gesture. It was a humane gesture. It was a way of, in a way, freeing her son's murderer from unnecessary guilt. Now, you can say, well, what did Michael Slager go on to do afterwards? And I actually don't know. I'd like to know. We're trying to, there's still litigation going on. He's not happy with his lawyer. So we'll continue to watch and see what happens. But that was a moment, that was an exchange, right? That was an exchange between two families who had gone through great tragedy. Don't think that Michael Slager's family didn't go through tragedy here. The family of the police officer, I'm not doing any defense of his actions. They look completely unjustified. But the point is, you make a decision in a split second, and if it's the wrong decision, you end up paying for the rest of your life, which is what's happening with him and what's happening with his family and his kids. So from a Christian point of view, we're concerned about all the parties involved in this breakdown. This is a collapse. It's a collapse of civic order. It's a collapse of personal relationship, right? And there are legal dimensions to this. My point is, if you're a pastor, then you need to be aware that you don't fulfill the gospel mandate simply by hitching your concerns to some activist organization. You need to approach these difficult issues as men and women of the gospel, not as Republicans or Democrats, not as politicians. We must start at the point of our strength, and where we're weakest is at the foot of the cross, but that's also where we're strongest. And so all these symbolic gestures, like putting black crosses on church lawns, may be a very good idea, but it's kind of counterproductive if what it does is divide the congregation and fails to open the hearts of those who are resisting. You have to ask, most men and women in America don't think police abuse is a good thing. And that's why looking at these cases in detail is helpful, because you get to see where there are cases of abuse, where there are cases of misunderstanding, where there are cases of outright illegal activity. So that's my response to you. Let's continue. Let's continue the conversation. 1-877-573-7825. We'll go to Dave in Miami, Florida, listening on 101.1 FM, Prince of Peace Catholic Radio. Dave, good to have you with me. Thanks.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I just wanted to speak some truth here and let you know that the main problem in the black community is a severe lack of moral character.
Why would you say that?
Because there are no fathers.
Okay, so it's a lack of moral character because they've not been discipled by a father in the home. So it's a family breakdown problem. Yeah. Yeah, when you have the absence of fathers in the home, whether it's a black family or a white family, and white, by the way, America, it's about nearly 50% of children in America are now being born out of wedlock. The numbers are more like 75% in the black community, but the white community, it's way out of proportion there, too. Yes, fatherlessness is a huge problem. It's the greatest, predictor of future criminality on the part of young males. So, but I wouldn't say the black community is lacking moral character. I'm saying
not all. But
no, I know, that's what I'm trying to make sure we say here. When you're absent a father in the home, you're swimming against the tide. You've got a real deficit that you're growing up with, and a lot of single moms do a great job, but they're heroic in doing so. That was in the beginning. That was not God's design for the family. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Only a man can raise a boy into a man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No. I couldn't agree more. I think I can remember when it was during the first Bush administration, George H.W. Bush. Dan Quayle was vice president. Dan Quayle complained about the Murphy Brown sitcom because she had decided to have a child out of wedlock and got pregnant, decided to have a child out of wedlock. And Dan Quayle, Vice President Quayle, said at the time that this was glorifying single motherhood and it wasn't dealing with the pain and the reality of growing up without a father. And he took all kinds of heat for that. Well, in a matter of months, I think it was the Atlantic magazine, came out with a cover story saying Dan Quayle was right. And it was about that time that social scientists were finally beginning to crunch the numbers for outcomes of children who are raised without fathers. And it didn't matter if you were a liberal or conservative here. It was, if you look at the sociological data, it was very clear that growing up in a broken family situation or a family without a father creates big troubles for adult children of divorce, for children who are raised with a fatherless home. And this is something that, believe it or not, when I was growing up, it wasn't thought to be a big deal. When I was growing up, if you didn't have a father in the home, nobody treated it like a disaster. It was a shame. It was a kind of a stigma. But people weren't talking about the long-term consequences on the social capital of young people. It wasn't until, again, about the middle of the very early 1990s that happened. I'm Al Cresta. More coming up.
Getty Automotive Group is a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio. The Getty Group of Chevrolet, Honda, and Honda Power Sports is pleased to serve the Ave Maria audience with outstanding sales and service for all of Metro Detroit. As we emerge from this difficult year, the Getty family is committed to honest and professional support for all the transportation needs of your family. They're ready to serve you 24/7 when you Google G-E-N-T-H-E. May God bless all of you in this new year.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
Deacon Skin and Surgeries is a comprehensive dermatology center on the border of Troy and Rochester Hills, south of M59, and in Dearborn, west of Telegraph. Deacon Skin and Surgeries perform full skin exams and focus on the diagnosis and treatment of all types of skin cancer and precancerous lesions. All are board-certified dermatologists and fellowship-trained surgeons. Call 248-852-1900. Deacon Skin and Surgeries, a beacon for patient care. 248-852-1900.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta, and I'm inviting you to join us next week for our spring membership drive. Thanks to the support of listeners like you, we are celebrating 25 years on the air, and we can't wait to see what the next 25 years is going to bring. We're also planning a great get-together for the summer, our 25th anniversary Family Fun Fest. We'll have more on that next week. Until then, go to AveMariaRadio.net or get ready to make your call next week. Tell your friends as well. Thanks, and happy Easter.
So the story goes that a poor woman stole something in a store and carried it away. No one saw her. On her way home, a disturbing feeling gnawed at her peace of mind. She had to return to the store and replace the stolen item, after which she returned home feeling relieved. This small, subtle voice, an inborn feeling, is called your conscience. The conscience by nature is a spiritual instinct, which more clearly and quickly differentiates between good and evil. In the Holy Scripture, conscience is called the heart. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ compared the conscience to the eyes, by which a person can evaluate his moral condition. The Lord also compared a conscience to a rival, with whom a person must come to terms before he presents himself at God's judgment. The word rival stresses the main attribute of a conscience to oppose our evil desires and intentions. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, a communications evangelist.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
With 1 in 9 Americans struggling with hunger, Catholic Charities distributed over 70 million meals across the United States last year, along with life-changing services that empower people to move beyond poverty. Consider a donor-advised fund with Catholic Charities. Streamline your charitable giving while supporting the causes you care about. To learn more, go to ccusa.gives. That's ccusa.gives.
Parents of Spiritus Sanctus Academies and those that support their mission of an in-person Catholic education can participate in the virtual gala Saturday, April 17th. Just go to SpiritusSanctus.org to learn how to sign up and get involved. It's their silver anniversary gala, and they want to make it special. So go to SpiritusSanctus.org to learn more about their event and special offer. That's SpiritusSanctus.org.
Good afternoon. We continue with your calls at 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. 573-7825. We'll go to Nick in Eastern Pennsylvania, listening on Holy Name Family Radio, 750 AM. You're up, Nick.
Oh, good afternoon.
Hi.
Thank you, first off, for the important public service and thought-provoking program.
Thank you.
And commenting about my own parish, the friar, who is our pastor, a week after spoke about the incident with George Floyd.
Yeah.
He spoke very passionately with revulsion and disgust and anger,
mm-hmm.
drawing a clear line what happened there with what he'd seen in Poland at the Auschwitz Museum. And
well,
that was part his sermon on the nature of evil.
Yeah, I'm curious.
And also, the other thing, too, is you mentioned Murphy Brown.
Yeah.
Perhaps you could speak about the Moynihan Report.
Yeah.
Talking about absent fatherhood.
Yeah, yeah. That
thank was, you very much.
Yeah, no, thank you. The Daniel Patrick Moynihan was part of the Great Society agenda of Lyndon Johnson, but he had a report out. You have to forgive me, I think 1964, 1965, in which he said that this problem of out-of-wedlock births in the black community was going to be a huge problem. And as I understand it, it was initially received well by the leaders of the civil rights movement, but the truth is there are many cultural liberals within the civil rights community at that time who thought that the emphasis on chastity, the emphasis on sex within the bounds of marriage, they thought that that was quote blaming the victim, and the report was basically locked up and thrown away and didn't really. We can find it. You can. In fact, Brent, let's do this. Let's make sure we have a copy of that, or at least a good analysis of the Moynihan Report in the Cresta Guest Archives. It's definitely worth looking at. It's not only of historic importance. It's just you recognize good common sense there. You know, our number, by the way, is 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. You know, the George Floyd incident was very frustrating to just about everybody who saw it, right? But here's what happens. Not all incidents of moral outrage can be tied to the Holocaust. There's a huge difference between what happened in Auschwitz and what happened on the streets of Minneapolis. Auschwitz, remember what the Holocaust was about. The Holocaust was a top-down attempt by the powers that be, by the civil authorities, to implement the extermination of an entire race of people. That's simply not what was going on the streets of Minneapolis. No matter what side of the, you know, the story you come down on here, what Derek Chauvin was doing was not part of a government-sponsored attempt to eliminate black Americans. I mean, that would have to be the parallel. Right, you'd have to have the civil authorities engage in an activity, training police officers around the country, to somehow beat black Americans into submission with the intention of course, sneakily trying to kill them along the way. That's not what happened. And, you know, the jury is going to have a verdict on this, but I would urge you to go ahead and look at all the videos. If you have an interest in this and you want to understand the situation better, you need to see all the videos that are out there, because you see Floyd in the store when he's passing the bogus bill. You see him confronted by police. You see people on the street engaging the officers. You see Floyd's frustration at realizing he's got himself into trouble. He's very agitated. And you see that the police officer's trying to figure out how they're going to handle this situation. It is much bigger than the kneeling on his neck instance that you see, the little video you see of that. 9 minutes he was there, by the way. That's a long time. And that's going to be the biggest problem I think Derek Chauvin's going to have in that case. What justified 9 minutes of that? He's going to have somebody come up and make that case for him. But that's not the same as the final solution in Nazi Germany. It's simply not. You know, give you another example here of something that I think is a misuse. We talked about this way back in September of last year. There was a New York priest who had his parish, and this is right after the post-communion prayer. He had members in attendance that day make a pledge for racial injustice. And, he said this was under the sponsorship of the pastoral council. I'm looking here for the exact words, because it struck me then as highly politicized. You know, I'm not seeing, Bryant, I am not seeing the actual words of the pledge here, and that's what's deeply offensive. It had people acknowledging their guilt in activities for which they had no conceivable hand. At a time in the Holy Mass, Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, where we are in fact bringing our sin to the foot of the cross and participating in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, that's where you want honesty. That's where you want transparency. That's not where you want political correctness. That's not where you want to come up with phraseology taken from activist groups. That's where you want to bring people to a point of real personal conviction, not dealing with the collective guilt of a race for which most people have no imagination for. There's a lot done in the name of anti-racism that I think in the long run actually creates more ill will and division. And this is why when I say, as Catholics, we have to approach these issues in a distinct way. So, for instance, in the culture of which we're a part, people ask, well, where does racism and bigotry come from? And some people will say, well, you know, it's part of the whole evolutionary process. Oh, thanks. Brian just gave me the actual words here. I want to actually hear the words that this priest inserted into the liturgy. This is the Church of St. Francis Xavier joining with people throughout the world in committing itself to racial justice. And so we pledge together in... Everybody's supposed to answer yes to these things. Do you support justice, equity, and compassion in human relations? Well, you know, you always have to ask how meaningful is a pledge if nobody of a rational mind would answer no to it. So who's going to answer no to this pledge? Do you support justice, equity, and compassion in human relations? Nobody's going to say no. So it's kind of meaningless. But anyways, it's there. Do you affirm that white privilege is unfair and harmful to those who have it and to those who do not? White privilege is a politically loaded phrase for which there's no clear definition. And here he is asking members of Christ's body to affirm something which really is a weasel word. Next phrase is, do you affirm that white privilege and the culture of white supremacy must be dismantled wherever it is present? Well, that white privilege thing again. Not sure what you mean. White supremacy, I got a better idea what that is. And it's not at all clear to me how that's functioning in my life or in the life of this church or in the life of our land. So I'm sorry, I'm going to withhold until I know what you're really asking me here. Do you support racial equity, justice, and liberation for every person? Okay, yeah, sure. Don't we all? Do you affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person? Yeah, that's basic Christian teaching. Therefore, from this day forward, so now you're pledging to action in the future, will you strive to understand more deeply the injustice and suffering white privilege and white supremacy cause? Again, the insertion of these political weasel words undermines the value of this pledge. You don't have to use weasel words like this. Most Christians will be glad to strive to understand more deeply injustice and suffering that people who have been marginalized or oppressed or have undergone. Nobody is afraid of affirming, yes, I do want to understand authentic pain more clearly. Will you commit to help transform our church culture to one that is actively engaged in seeking racial justice and equity for everyone? Yeah, but I have a suspicion here. What you mean by that and what I mean by that are probably going to be different. Will you make a greater effort to treat all people with the same respect you expect to receive? Absolutely, sure. Will you commit to developing the courage to live your beliefs and values of racial justice and equality? Oh, sure, of course. Will you strive daily to eliminate racial prejudice from your thoughts and actions so that you can better promote the racial justice efforts of our church? The problem with this pledge is it presumes that those who are present in the congregation are in so deep to racial prejudice that they need to have like a daily examination of conscience. And so, if you're going to ask people to affirm, to strive daily to eliminate racial prejudice from their thoughts and actions, you better confront the fact that most people taking this pledge simply aren't aware. They don't think they're dealing with racial prejudice day in and day out, and they have to strive to eliminate it from their thoughts and actions. It's simply, for most white Americans, race is not a compelling issue. It doesn't have the same primacy in our self-understanding that it does for black Americans for the most part. And it's just true because majorities don't think about, they take certain things for granted. Minorities are much more aware of what majorities are going through because they're always identifying themselves in respect to the majority culture. So will you renew and honor this pledge daily, knowing that our church, our community, our nation, and our world will be better placed because of my efforts. This is all I can say. Well, they picked that up, by the way, from the First Unitarian Church of Dallas, Texas. That's a pledge that's filled with all kinds of virtue signaling and inauthenticity. And I think it is clearly wrong to impose that upon a congregation. There's many things you can do to actually help people enter more deeply into what Jesus means when he calls all men and women of every caste and class to himself.
Ram is the only pickup to be distinguished as Motor Trend's Truck of the Year 3 years in a row. That's correct, 3 years in a row. Now during Ram Truck Month at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you can enjoy leasing a new 2021 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 for as low as $239 a month. Superior styling, comfort, quality, and safety is what has earned us this crown again. Come in and choose your new Ram from over 10 acres of inventory today, only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com. Celebrating over 20 years in business.
Welcome to Educating for Eternity. Catholic education is the only education that helps form the person to understand his sublime dignity and the eternal joy that awaits him. Here is Father Gabriel Richard High School Principal Christopher Dotson.
St. Augustine profoundly stated, "The truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose, it will defend itself." The tradition of Catholic education is to continuously seek out truth, to proclaim it, and to share it with others. Catholic education cultivates in each student a sense of awe in response to the beauty of truth. This tradition is why our scholars rise above the rest in their pursuit of academic excellence and in their formation of the whole person.
Educating for Eternity is presented by the faculty of Father Gabriel Richard High School. Learn more about the intellectual and spiritual benefits of a Father Gabriel Richard High School education at fgrhs.org. That's fgrhs.org.
Crest in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization, Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Thanks so much for being with me today, for your calls and comments. I look forward to being with you on Monday for another edition of Crest in the Afternoon. As I go off there right now, though, we've got Catholic Answers Live coming your way, where Father Tad Pacholczyk will be answering your questions on various bioethical issues and no doubt questions regarding the moral suitability of the coronavirus vaccines will come up in that conversation. And then Jimmy Akin taking special attention to your weird and strange questions. So he's looking forward to hearing from you or maybe your friends. Okay? Stay tuned for Catholic Answers Live. And let me remind you that all of what we discussed today will have follow-up information for you in the Cresta Guest Archives. Go to AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net, and we'll have that follow-up information on the Moynihan Report from 1964 or 65, and a whole lot more. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMaria Radio.net. To listen to this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, visit the audio archives at AveMariaRadio.net. Or to order a CD of the program, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.